What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey, welcome everyone to the From Shadows podcast. I'm your host, Shane Grove. And unfortunately, Jason, the super producer, is off doing some super producing right now as we're recording this episode. So he is unavailable to join us. I will try to carry the load. I've already had to successfully make dinner tonight before I even started. Well, I shouldn't say make dinner. I just had to get it out of the oven so it didn't burn. So I guess that's an important part. So I'll give myself a little bit of credit, but maybe not once I actually get to sit down and eat it. It might not be very good. So, and I'm sure I'll get the blame for that. But I can only say that because Christy does not listen to the podcast and will not give me a bunch of crap about it later. So anyway, before we get started, I just want to remind everybody that if you have a story or you have an encounter that you'd like to share with us, you can find us on Facebook at From the Shadows Podcast or our forum page on Facebook, After the Shadows. You can find me at Shane Grove Author on Instagram. You can find us at From the Shadows Podcast on Instagram. Or you could just go to our website, From the Shadows Podcast, hit the contact button and send us an email. And I will get it and I will read it and I will respond, especially if it's something really good. So I just want to remind everybody, those are all good ways to get a hold of us and share an experience, or if you want, you know, and especially if you want to come on the show. Also, don't forget, we do have our Patreon page keeps growing. I don't even know all the levels on there. Nita, our social media person, handles all that. But I know we put up commercial-free episodes, and we put up at least one extra paranormal episode and one extra midweek howl every month, among some other stuff. And then before I bring on our guest, we are doing, I think it's our first official special Halloween show. So we're going to release an episode on Sunday night at midnight, which is October 30th, which also, by the way, happens to be on my birthday, if anybody wants to send a gift. We're going to release it at midnight. We have a super cool show planned with a really cool guest. So be sure to tune in, you know, look at your podcatchers, wherever you listen to Monday morning, October 31st, you'll have a new episode special, especially for Halloween. So hopefully you can check it out and you'll have be in the Halloween spirit with us. So that being said, I want to bring on our guest who obviously listens to the podcast and follows directions because she got a hold of me through email and told me some really crazy stuff. And it was so crazy and good that I decided we got to have her on. So much to her chagrin, I've drug on Sherry from Arkansas, kicking and screaming, to the From the Shadows podcast. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Shane.
Well, thank you. Thank you for waiting on me to get supper out of the oven. and thank you for sharing your experiences with me through email and then agreeing to come on and and tell them. So, I mean, I'm excited. I think we kind of talked a little bit before we came on air. I love the paranormal ghost stuff, and I won't give a spoiler to the what else you're going to talk about, because it's October, and this is when, you know, all good ghosts are hanging out haunting people. So let's add to the stories, you know. Let's hear your ghost stories.
Okay, and then I've got some weird stuff, I'm telling you. I got 30 years worth of weird stuff.
Oh, bye. Well, we only got an hour, but so make sure they don't. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Hurry. You take as much time as you need to tell these stories.
Well, I am Sherry in Northeast Arkansas, originally from Central Arkansas, where I was born and raised. That's where I met my husband when we were young. And that's when all this weird stuff started happening.
So you're blaming him? Just
yeah, get it out all of it. It's all him. Yeah. Oh,
okay. All right. Well, now I see where we're going. Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
Most definitely. So, we got married and he was 19 and I was 22. So I'm kind of a cougar.
Kind of a cougar. Wow. Okay. I mean, he was even old enough to drink and you, wow. Okay. He's, don't tell him, but he's my hero. I mean, if he's man enough to handle a woman, you know, woman like you at that young, tender age, he must be quite a man.
I was a good girl. He was a wild PK and. It took him a while to straighten out, but yeah, when we first got married and that's when the weird stuff started happening. It was minor things at first, like I remember and it didn't happen right off, you know, it was after a few months. One night he woke me up in the middle of the night screaming and I'm talking the middle of the night and I jump up and he says, I'm like, what's wrong? He said, there's a man standing in the doorway. Well, I didn't see anything. And I'm like, you know, nobody's there. And I'm thinking, was somebody in here? Did they go off in the other part of the house? And, you know, this is before cell phones. So it wasn't like I could reach over and grab my cell phone and call somebody, you know. And so, of course, that ended up being nothing. And he says, oh, well, you know, he goes back to sleep and I'm laying there petrified, scared out of my mind, you know. And then the next time it happened, and it didn't happen every night. It did happen quite often. I'd say once or twice a month, maybe back then.
So once or twice a month, he woke up out of dead sleep, screaming, "There's a man standing in the doorway."
Well, it wasn't always a man. It would be something. Like the next time I remember, it was he woke me up and he was shaking me. He said, "Sherry, look at this," and I'm like, "Look at what?" And he said, "This white mist on the ceiling." I said, "I don't see anything," and he says, "It's a white mist and it's swirling around." And he watched it, and it was like a white smoky mist. He watched it until it swirled around, and it just like sucked up into the ceiling fan.
And so he's sitting there describing that to you.
Yeah.
And you're awake.
Yeah.
And you can't see it.
No. Mm-mm.
So, okay. So, like, you know, the first time you're saying he wakes up, I'm almost like, well, maybe he just come, because Christy will kill me for this, but she does that. Like, wakes up and, oh my gosh, there's somebody standing there. And there's nobody there, you know, there's nobody there. And maybe they're dreaming. But if you're laying there awake and you can tell he's awake and he's describing something to you, that's a whole nother, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole nother. Now, set the stage a little bit. Like, where were you guys living in your own house at this point?
Yeah, we were renting a little house in town. from my brother-in-law.
Okay.
And it was just me and Paul, and Paul worked a lot of nights. Paul's my husband, and he worked a lot of nights, but the nights he was off, he was scaring me half to death. and then we didn't have any kids at the time, and you know, we at that time we didn't have any pets or anything, and you know, and it happened a few times. It happened enough that I actually got myself a dog. And actually something weird happened with her when he was at work one night, in this same little house. He was at work and I was asleep one night, and I woke up and my little dog, she was at the end of the bed just growling. And I lay there a few minutes. I'm thinking, what is wrong with her? So she just kept it up. It was about 10 minutes. So finally I turned the light on and got up, and I'm thinking, well, maybe there's a mouse or something over there, because she was facing the closet. Maybe there's a mouse in there or something. So I get up and go over there and look around, and I don't find anything. And the whole time she's standing there growling, and she would bark a little bit, and she'd just growl. And I was like, what the heck? And so I got spooked. So I got my blanket and pillow, and I left, and I went into the living room and lay down to go back to sleep on the couch. And she followed me in there. So everything's okay for a couple of minutes. And next thing I know, she's standing up facing the end of the couch where my feet were, looking at something I can't see, and she's growling and carrying on again. That's what really made it weird, because it was like she was growling at something I couldn't see, and like it followed me in there.
I was going to say, either there's something that followed you in there, or else your feet were just terrible. And the dog was very upset with it. I don't want to say obviously there's something going on, but obviously there was something going on in this house that, you know, that, you know, your husband could see, the dog could see. I mean, maybe you were not at a point where you could actually see anything. Did you ever think to, like, ask questions of, would you say it was your brother-in-law's house?
It was my brother-in-law. He probably would have laughed at me.
Well, did he ever live in the house?
Yes, he did. But he never mentioned anything, that anything happened. But it wasn't that house. This is my husband.
Boy, you're really laying the blame on this poor guy. Okay. I gotta be honest, you marry a younger guy, you get what you get. Okay.
But now I've had some weird stuff, but you know, I think a lot of it's my husband, and I think he passed it down to my daughter. So, but we, you know, there was little things like that that would happen in that house, and we didn't live there maybe a year and a half. And then he tricked me into moving to Northeast Arkansas. And
he tricked. Oh boy, this sounds like a whole nother story for maybe another podcast.
Is how you got tricked, didn't it? Oh, it's a whole story.
Okay. All right. We will gloss over how you were just, you know, sold a bad bill of goods and moved to Northeast Arkansas. Right. Okay.
So here's one of my big stories. And this happened to me. We moved to Northeast Arkansas, and it's a couple of years later. Well, it's about 4 years later, and we have a son now. And he was about 2 years old at the time. And I was a stay-at-home mom. I mentioned my husband is a PK, preacher's kid. We lived down the road from my in-laws, and my father-in-law was our pastor. We are Pentecostal. We're not snake handlers.
I was just getting ready to ask, are you guys handling the snakes?
No, we don't do no snake handling.
Well, then are you really Pentecostal? I mean, seriously. Okay.
And we don't wear the buns and stuff like that. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But
do Pentecostals, now do they speak in tongues too?
Yes, we do.
Okay. All right.
We believe that's a sign of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Something happens after you get saved and you can pray and ask for. And still are pretty devout Christians. But during this time period, I started having these nightmares. And they weren't your average nightmares like you have a dream that your kid gets involved in a car accident or something. You know, to me, that's a nightmare. These nightmares that I started having were horrific. They were worse than Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of nightmares. They were horrible. And it was every single night. Every single night. This went on for months. I was going to the doctor. He couldn't find anything wrong with me. Except maybe he thought maybe I was stressed because I was a stay-at-home mom to a 2-year-old, you know. I had my in-laws laid hands on me and prayed for me. My church prayed for me. We had a special evangelist from out of town during the time that came, and he prayed for me, it just kept up every single night. And the only nightmare that I remember exactly what it was is the very last one I had when I woke up and saw what was causing it. But these nightmares were so bad that it got to the point. I mean, I was under torment. It got to the point to where I would get ready to go to bed at night, and I would pray, and I would literally ask God to let me die in my sleep.
Oh, wow. So you weren't having the same nightmare every night? It was something different. Now, was there something the same though in every nightmare? Was it protagonist or anything?
It was different nightmares. But I'll tell you, the last one I had, they were all different nightmares, but it was all madness and mayhem, murder, blood, gore, that type of thing. But it wasn't like same characters or same people in it or anything like that. So last night that I was having this nightmare, and in this nightmare, I was in the body of a serial killer. And he was, it was like I could see out of his eyes, and I was inside of his body, so I could see everything he was doing. And he was in a mobile home, and he had all these dead body parts laying around and stuff. And, that's about all I remember about. I just remember that and him plotting to kill people and stuff. So I suddenly woke up in the middle of this dream. And I noticed, this is going to sound so crazy. I noticed these hands, these really long fingers, these arms and hands are leaning over me, and this thing has its fingers inside of my head. And I'm like in shock. What the heck? You know, and about that time, it's like this thing suddenly realizes I can see it. And it leans back. And it just had this shocked look on its face. And it was transparent. Like, I could see it, but I could see through it. And it was kind of a grayish color. I don't remember any hair. It was really disfigured looking. And the face, I remember clearly thinking that the face looked like a deformed wild hog face. And it when it leaned back and it looked and it was looking at me and I could see the shock on its face, it wasn't expecting me to be able to see it. And then when it realized I could see it, and I'm just kind of staring in shock, and then it threw its head back and just started laughing. But I couldn't hear it. Couldn't hear the sound, but I could see it. And it's laughing. Well, I started rebuking it in the name of Jesus, commanding it to leave and never come back. You know, the things you do as a Christian. And it slowly just started to disappear. And then it was gone. And I've never before or since then ever had any nightmares like that. That was the last nightmare like that I ever had after I cast that thing out.
Holy moly. That's...
Yeah.
I don't even know where to start with that. What? So first of all, I mean, what? Obviously, you had to have a conversation then with your, like, you don't think your husband is the pro. Let's get that out of the way.
No, this okay. was something else.
You're gonna let him off the hook on this dream yeah. manipulating whatever yeah. it was. Okay. Where did you start? Like, trying to, did you want to find an answer to what this thing was and why it was doing it, or were you just like, it's gone, I'm not messing with it?
Well, I was like, it's gone. You know, I really felt like at the time, and still to this day, I mean, my son's 27 now, so it's been quite a few years ago. I feel like I was under a spiritual attack. In my Christian faith, we believe that there is a spirit world, that God has angels. And there are demons that are fallen angels that were cast out of heaven. And I believe that's what it was. I believe it was an unclean spirit, a demon spirit. And I believe it was just, I happened to be one of his assignments to cause problems for me. I don't know if it's, I was in ministry at the time. I helped minister to a lot of kids, people that were homebound, stuff like that. I don't know if you know, it was something to try and stop me from doing that or what, but
maybe like question your faith.
Yes.
You know, like you keep asking for help.
Exactly. And
it's, you know, it doesn't care, you know, right. So it's going to keep showing up because, you know, whatever you're doing isn't really affecting it at that moment. It's still able to come and mess with you. And maybe that's what it was hoping, like to make you question, like, well, why isn't God helping me? Maybe God doesn't exist. Maybe God doesn't, you know, and keep you from doing what you were meant to do, you know, which is help kids for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And I really feel like, I really feel like God is the one that opened my eyes to see that thing so that I would understand, because he knew I was at my end, that I was at the end of my rope. I couldn't handle anymore. And I feel like he opened my eyes to the spirit world at that time so I could understand what was going on.
Wow. And, you know, like when you were as you're telling me this and everybody else who's listening, and you're saying like you thought you could see through the eyes of a serial killer. It's like, yeah. Okay, were you like seeing through the eyes of this demon or spirit, maybe even? Like what it did when it walked the earth or was you know what I'm saying? I don't know, like so many things went through my head of what this could possibly, or were you actually like, and this is crazy, this is the part of me that writes movie scripts, like were you like maybe every night it was taking you to a different, putting you in the driver's seat maybe for a different like person that was walking the earth that just did awful things and making you bear witness to what these people did or were doing at the moment.
That's a horrible thought.
I know, but I mean, look, if something's sitting there, got its hands in your head, manipulating what you're thinking, I think anything's possible. You know, maybe it wanted to show, you like, you know, you think there's good in the world and but I'm going to show you that there's this much bad in the world and really, really make you question what you were doing. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm open for any kind of interpretation for this, but I mean, that's the stuff that I was thinking like, wow, you know, maybe there really was some dude out there driving a motorhome around chopping people up and this thing just wanted you to see what it was like, you know, just letting you know this is out here. So that's great. So did you ask any questions? Did you ever like throw it out there? Like, is there a demon that looks like this or has been described this way?
Almost forgot to tell you.
Oh no.
I only shared that with my husband about seeing this demon for a long time. It's not just something you go around telling people.
Yeah,
crazy, course. You know.
I get it.
And so years later, I was talking to my father-in-law. We were just sitting around talking, and he was telling us about this. The first church he ever took up in Missouri when my husband was a little boy and their kids were little, and how this demon spirit was coming after. He could feel it, like he could just feel it around the house at night and stuff, and he would get up and pray, and he felt like he had prayed a hedge protection around the house. And he would feel it outside of the house, like it couldn't get in. So one night he was up praying and he could feel this thing. And he looked through the front door window and he saw this thing. And he says to me, it looked like it had a deformed hog's face.
Oh, no. Are you kidding me?
No. And I said, oh, I got something to tell you, Dad. and I thought, whoa, I was blown away. But that, yeah, so he saw the same thing, you know, and I'm not saying all demons would look alike, but, you know, maybe they're, you know, maybe certain ones of them look alike. I don't know. Heck, I'm not an expert on demons. But yeah, that happened. I almost forgot to tell you that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's no big deal. I mean, why would you? Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah.
So essentially, this thing, I mean, you could think that this thing, like, it is your husband's fault. Is this like your sweet, like, Southern way of saying, oh, no, dude, yeah, it's fine. Yeah. Wow. I mean, that's crazy, though, to think that that the thing has been essentially, like, stalking your family. I mean, That's all that I could think is, you know, maybe it was like, okay, I can get this guy's kid. Because maybe it was trying to get your husband anyway as a kid.
I don't know.
Wow. But holy smokes.
But I can tell you a story that's really going to trip you out. I had another encounter, I think was maybe like an incubus or something, but I don't want to run out of time, so I want to tell you.
You got plenty of time. Don't worry.
Oh, okay.
Don't worry. Hey, listen, if you sit there and say, I got a story about an incubus, and then you're like, well, I don't want to run out of time, tell it. You know how many emails I'm going to get? Like, seriously, you didn't let Sherry tell her story about the, okay. Yeah, we're fine. We'll make sure you get the story. Okay.
Well, I don't know if that's what it was. That's just what I have called it. But I swear people are going to think I'm totally nuts one day. But yeah, it was in that same house in Northeast Arkansas. Some years after that, my kids were still little. Don't even know if my daughter was born yet. But anyway, I was alone in the house. And I was in our den, and I had fell asleep on the couch. And this is so weird. I don't know if it was an out-of-body experience or if it was a really vivid dream. I feel like I was out of my body, really. But I fell asleep on the couch. And yet, all of a sudden, it's like I woke up. And I sensed something coming through the front part of the house, coming toward me. But body-wise, my body was still asleep. But I was awake. So this thing comes in, and I just feel this overwhelming urge that I have to go and see this thing. It's kind of embarrassing, but it wasn't like a lust, like, you know, it was more like just a pull and a desire and a strong feeling of, I need to meet this thing. And so,
listen, we've already established you're a cougar. So I'm okay. So I'm not holding anything against you. So you feel a strong desire that you need to see what this is.
Yeah. And so we ended up meeting in the middle of the house. I went part way and it went part way. And when we met up, all I could see was like the outline of a body. And like it was I don't know, kind of like a shadow, but the face was blank. I couldn't see any kind of face. And as it got closer, it was like, you know, it put its arms around me and I hugged it. And it was just like I was not in my right mind. And then it leaned forward and I was about to kiss it. And all of a sudden, something like woke up in me, and I was like, oh no, whoa, no, this is wrong. And immediately I wake up and I'm sitting up on the couch in my den.
Okay, keep going. And your husband just had smacked you upside the head, right?
No, I was there by myself. I was there by myself, and it was just the weirdest thing, and nothing, you know, nothing was in the house, nothing, you know. And like I said, I don't know, maybe it was just some crazy weird dream, but it felt like I was awake.
I have heard similar stuff, not like in a dream state, but where, you know, it's funny, you call it like a succubus, okay? And yeah. I've heard that people, like, And I'm not gonna, you know, I don't want to tell you whose story this is, but it's somebody like, I had a story from somebody who was in a bar. See, and this is the part that's so crazy, is you feel like embarrassed, you know, to say,
yeah,
like how it went. But like this person's telling a story and they're like, you know, I'm in this bar and, you know, and we're having fun and I'm really like, you know, I think this woman starts like this, she just didn't look like she belonged there, you know, and she starts talking and buys me a drink or whatever. And the story goes, you know, that she's trying to get him to leave the bar with her. And trust me, this guy in his youth, it wouldn't have taken much to get him to leave the bar. And but the fact that something told him it was wrong, like you had that feeling, you know, like it kept him from, you know, leaving. And now, of course, his story and your story is, you don't know. That's just the feeling you had. You don't know that if you would have, you know, kissed this, you know, shadow figure, or if you would have left with this person, that something bad really would have happened. Okay. Yeah. I mean, you don't really know that. It's a feeling, you know, that came over you guys, that kept you guys from going down that path of, okay,
It was almost like I was hypnotized.
Yeah. Okay.
Like in a trance, almost.
That's a great, and that's just not like a normal dream. You know what I'm saying? It's not really like, unless you're just the greatest dreamer of all time, you're not having like normal stuff. You know, that's not normal for that. And it's all, you know, and it immediately I'm thinking like, okay, oh, if she kisses this thing, is that unlocking a door? Is that inviting something in that you can't, you know, or are you going to get possessed by whatever this spirit? I know that's what I'm here for, is to put thoughts that you never thought of in your head. But that's what I'm thinking. It's like, okay, what was the end game? Like it's almost as if you had kissed that thing, it would have either like possessed you, opened a door for it to step into, you know, something. I mean, there had to be something next.
That actually makes sense to me.
Oh, see, now we're really in trouble. What I'm saying is making sense. Oh, boy. Holy smokes. So do you tell your husband or your father-in-law? Like, you're not going to believe this crazy.
You know, I think I waited a few years and finally told my husband. but
I didn't want to tell you this, but I almost kissed somebody else. Well, not really somebody else, but I think it was, I think it could have been somebody else. I didn't have a face, but you know, I think it was, I don't even know how you have that conversation.
We've just had so many weird things happen to us over the years. Now, you know, both my kids are grown. My daughter's in college. My son's married and has a baby. And it's just me and my husband here, and we talk a lot more, and it's just so many weird things have happened to us, you know. But as far as demons go, that's all the demon stuff I've had happen
to me. Oh, gee, that's it. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I just got to tell you one thing. Your conversations obviously are way better than, hey, honey, did you go by the store and get some milk and eggs, or did you take the recycling, or, you know, I get a doctor's appointment on Friday, don't forget. I mean, these are like a lot better conversations than the normal people I think are having.
For sure.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Oh, and I ain't even, you ain't heard the best ones yet.
Well, listen, if you can top these, go for it. That's all I can say. Let's go for it.
Now, this one blows my mind. I just don't even know what to think about this. But it started when my husband was a little boy. He woke up one night and he saw a man, a spirit, standing in his bedroom doorway. He said he looked solid. He had brown hair. He was wearing a black and red checked plaid shirt and blue jeans. And he was just standing there smiling at him. Didn't say anything. So my husband's a real little boy. And I think you said he's probably 6, 7, 8, somewhere around there. He grabs the covers and covers his head up.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
He waits a couple of minutes and he peeks back out and the guy's still there. So he pulls the covers back over his head again and looks and the guy's still there. So he covers his head back up and he thinks, okay, I need a plan here. So he decides that he is going to jump out of bed and race around his bed. And that if he does that, he can build up speed because he had a nickname when he was little, forgot what it was, but it had something to do with how fast he was because he was a fast little boy. And he said, I can build up speed and run past this thing and get to my mom and dad's room and get them. So that's what he did. He jumped out of bed and he ran around his bed. And when he went to run around this guy, he ended up actually running through him. And he kept on going, went and jumped in his mom and dad's bed. Of course, they were not happy that and they're jumping around on their bed. So my father-in-law tells him, oh, you're just seeing things. But he goes back with him and he tells him, well, you know, I pray that God sends angels to watch over you every night. So that's probably what it was. Okay, now fast forward. My husband told me this during our marriage, but it's not something we talked about all the time. And we, you know, my kids didn't know anything about it. So my daughter was, when she was little, she had stuff bother her at night too. She would say that she had a dream where somebody come and they were dead and they were trying to talk to her. Or she said, you know, she would know things before they would happen. She, you know. And so we let her sleep in our bed till she was a big old teenager because stuff would happen to her, you know. But anyway.
Did it happen? Did it keep happening while she was in bed with you, sleeping in bed with you guys?
Oh, yeah. Well,
oh boy. Okay. All right.
Well, not everything, but what we call the lumberjack did. The man in my husband's room when he was a little boy, he had named him the lumberjack because that's what he reminded him, or the guy reminded him of. So she's in our bed one night, and she was little. Gosh, she might have been 6 or 7 years old, about the same age he was. And she wakes me up in the middle of the night. And the way my bed's situated is where your feet would be is right as close to the doorway that leads into my bathroom. And so, your head's at where you can look down and see right at the doorway. And she wakes me up. She said, Mama. She said, there's a man standing in the bathroom doorway. And I said, what? She says, there's a man standing in the bathroom doorway. And I look, not see anything. I'm like, oh, Lord, here we go again. And I said, well, what does he look like? She described him to a T, like my husband's lumberjack. And she even, I talked to her the other day and was asking her about it again. And she said, yeah, Mama. And she described him, and she talked about he was smiling, that he was smiling so hard that his teeth were showing. And, so when she was little and I'm talking to her and she's describing him to me, I'm like, does he look mad? Is he happy? Was he? And she tells me he's smiling. I said, but she couldn't tell if it's a good smile or a bad smile.
Like an evil.
Yeah. So I said, well, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pray. And so me and her prayed. And I said, okay, everything's good now. The Lord's going to watch over us, take care of us. You can go back to sleep. And so she went back to sleep. And, after a little while, I just fell back asleep too. Well, not long after this happened, I was talking to my husband about it. I said, Katie has seen your lumberjack. so we tell him about it. So we decide, my father-in-law is a spiritual leader of my whole family. We decide we need to go talk to Grandpa about this. So we go and talk to him and we tell him about Paul's experience. We remind him about it. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember something about that. And then we tell him about Katie's experience. And then he says, oh, yeah, I've seen that guy, too.
Holy moly. Now, what is the thought then? Who is this dude? Now, and immediately when you started telling me this, I'm like, is this the guy that your husband woke up saying he's in the doorway? Like he was having a dream? Like he was having a dream about as a kid? Dreaming about his experience as a kid and seeing the lumberjack? I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, we definitely think it is the same guy that he saw as a child that she saw and my father-in-law saw. My father-in-law, when he saw him, he said he woke up and the guy was, he was around the end of his bed and he described him exactly the same. Said the guy was kind of smiling at him and my father-in-law says he talked to him. He said, I don't know what you're doing, he said, but you might as well go on because I'm tired and I'm about to go back to sleep. He rolled over.
Okay.
Now, my father-in-law, he doesn't believe in like ghosts and stuff like that. So, and he honestly, I love my in-laws.
No, wait a second. He believes in demons and all that other stuff, but he doesn't believe in ghosts?
No.
I don't think that to me doesn't make sense. I can believe in one and not the other because they're all spirit. But I guess it's just your belief in what happens to the spirit.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. I get, yeah.
So he actually believed it was a dream. And as far as I know, he still believes it was a dream and that they all had the same dream.
Okay, so so that's like one of those Bigfoot shows where the person's like, I thought it was a bear running across the field on two legs. You know, like you start like rationalizing it into something that's even crazier than just saying, oh yeah, we all saw a lumberjack and it's a you know, I mean, we all had the same dream. That would be even crazy. That would be crazier than everybody seeing a ghost.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. You guys all had the same, they all had the same dream without telling each other.
Oh, I know. It's crazy. And I was talking to my mom about it the other day because I had a text her that I was going to be on this podcast, and she called me immediately after because she was so excited.
Okay.
She wow. said, anyway, we were talking about it, and she said, you know, I wonder if that lumberjack is really one of Paul's ancestors.
That's, you know, I kind of thought, because, so does everybody kind of, Does his family, they live in the same place, right? I mean, are they all from that area? And that's where they're...
Well,
no, you said he was originally from somewhere else, right?
Yeah, he was born and raised till he was... Well, he was born in Texas. My father-in-law's from Texas. And he's a preacher. He used to be a pastor. And so they moved around a lot because he would go to different churches. And so, you know, when he saw the lumberjack, they were actually living in Missouri, I believe. I may be wrong about that.
So it's kind of followed everybody around.
Right. Yeah. And see, and now we live in Northeast Arkansas. And when my father-in-law saw it, we were in Northeast Arkansas. Yeah.
That's just, and now does anybody feel threatened by the lumberjack?
He's never said anything to any of them. He's never threatened. He's never even moved. They just see him standing there smiling.
I just keep picturing like the brawny paper towel guy.
Yeah, that's what I picture.
like he's just standing there like,
I know. Wow.
That's the crazy part is that three different people had that same thing happen.
It's so weird. And I never, when my mom said she thought maybe it could be an ancestor or something, I was like, now, that is the only thing I've heard that actually kind of makes sense to me.
Now, I'm just going to point this out that, I don't know this to be a fact, but I believe if the succubus had turned up looking like the lumberjack, I think you might have kissed him. I don't know. I think you might have kissed him. I'm just throwing that out there.
No.
I got to be honest, there's probably at least 50 women listening all over the world going, hey, send the lumberjack to my house. Please send the lumberjack to my house. That's just crazy. I don't even know. I don't even know what that is.
I know. Yeah. And yeah. And I have to wonder, I know stuff happened before we... Some of this stuff happened. We lived in the next town over, and we moved to this little town, which is about 20 miles away, you know, when my kids were younger. But some of the stuff's happened. There's a lot of stuff's happened here at this house. You know, my... The other weird thing that's happened is something with my, you know, it's weird. My daughter has experienced stuff, seems like her whole life. But my son's never experienced anything.
Well, and the crazy thing is that you guys all seem by now you're all like just matter of fact about it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That maybe he's seen a UFO or an alien, and he's just like, look, I don't want to be, I'm the black sheep of the family. I'm not seeing a ghost. I'm seeing a UFO.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, yeah. I would say lucky kid that he's not.
Oh, actually, he called me at lunchtime today, and I talked to him for a little bit, and he told me something that adds to one of these stories that I did not know about.
Oh, boy. What's that?
Now, my kids are 7 years apart. So my son's 7 years older than my daughter, and she calls him Bubba. She always has. So when she was younger, there was one morning I was in my bathroom off of my bedroom getting ready for work. And she was getting ready for school, and she come through the living room, and she said my son was in the dining room facing away from her. And she said he just was standing there, and she said, Bubba, what are you doing? And he didn't say anything. And then he turned and he started walking. She was like, Bubba? And he didn't say anything, so she followed him. And then he walks on through my bedroom and goes into my bathroom. So she follows in there, and I remember this happening. She said, she comes in there and says, where'd Bubba go? And I said, Bubba's not here. And she said, no, he just walked in here. And I said, baby, your Bubba hasn't been in here. Yeah, you know, and she just looked, I remember she looked so shook up. And so that happened. And then I don't know how much, it was a few years later. Because by this time my son was old enough that he was out with friends, and my daughter wasn't home either. I was in the living room. My husband was in the bedroom, and we have a really big bedroom, so he's got a desk in there and his computer and all that. So he was at his desk on his computer, and he said out of the side of his eye, he saw my son walk through the bedroom doorway. And he said, hey, stop, what you doing? And he said he walked on past, didn't say anything. And he turned, and he could see him from behind, and he walked into the bathroom. And he said, and then he wouldn't answer him. So he kind of hollered out to me, and he said, hey, what's up with Silas? And I said, I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he just come through here, and he won't say anything to me. And I said, Silas is not home. He's out with his friends. And so that happened. And then today my son was telling me when he first moved out, he moved into an apartment that was only about a block away from our house. And as the crow flies, I mean, it wouldn't even be a quarter of a mile. I mean, real close. And my daughter-in-law and him were there one night. He was in the living room watching TV, and she was in the bedroom watching her TV. And she said he came in the room. She wasn't really paying much attention, and he walked over to their closet and was just standing there looking around. She said, hey, what are you doing? He didn't say anything. He turned back around and walked back out. So she, after a couple of minutes, comes walking in the living room and says, hey, what were you doing? He says, what are you talking about? She said, well, when you just came in there and was looking around in the closet, I'm just, you know, what were you looking for? He said, I haven't been in there. He said, I've been in here watching TV. I hadn't been in there at all.
Okay, so when is he going to admit that he's into, like, astral projection? That, wow. So that is almost like he is somewhere else and he's thinking about like going into the closet or walking into the, you know what I'm saying? Like he's like, it's almost like he's subconsciously thinking about that and that, and he's a part of him, his spirit or whatever is doing what he's thinking or something. Yeah. I mean, that's, I've heard like lots of ghost stories where people, you know, somebody looks like somebody and they call it a mimic or whatever, but that would mean like the, you know, that there would be a ghost there and, you know, that you guys knew about and it would take the form of him so that you guys thought it, you know, didn't know it was a ghost or spirit. Right. But this all sounds like he's like, maybe he's subconsciously projecting himself to different places.
Yeah. I
mean, I don't know what that, I mean,
I'm at a loss. I don't know.
Well, that's the crazy thing is that's three different people that have seen him.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah. It's weird. It's weird. And like I said, he's the only one of us here that hadn't experienced something.
Well, yeah, because what's he going to break it to you? He's not real. He's actually a spirit.
He's a figment of our imagination.
I don't even know. I wonder
if he could be, because, you know, there's other stuff here. You know, and I wonder if it's, you know, maybe it is something mimicking him. Well, I don't know why it would be at his apartment.
Yeah, that's the part that that gets me is that. He wasn't a twin or something, was he? That
no, not that I know of.
Huh? I mean, well, you would know. I mean, you're the one that gave birth. Okay, so if you don't know, I don't know who does. I just gotta be honest with you.
Read that women really early in pregnancy can have like twins and lose one and not even know it.
Ah, there you go. Oh, there you go. Okay.
So you know,
I got a feeling after these stories, I'm gonna get a lot of emails because I think there's some people that probably have experienced some of these same things. I mean, all I know is I'm glad I came in the office here and turned the light on. I'm just saying that right now. Sometimes I come in and I don't turn the light on, and when I'm doing the podcast and talking to guests and this is an instance where I'm glad I took the time to turn it on. Because,
you know, it doesn't, stuff doesn't really faze us anymore.
How could it? I mean, it's like me in a candy bar tomorrow. It's not going to faze me. Yeah. I've done it so many times. It's going to, you know, it just seems like something I should do. You know, like, I'm almost exhausted. Because I've been sitting on the edge of the seat the whole time.
Wow. Like a month ago, it was about a month ago. I was home by myself, and I was in the kitchen, and I went to turn and take a step at the same time, and I turned and walked right into a black mist, and walked right through it. And it disappeared as soon as I walked through it. And I didn't feel anything. I didn't hear anything. Nothing happened. And I was like, oh, well, okay. Just kept on what I was doing. Okay, you know. And then, but just maybe 2 weeks after that, I was in bed one night and my dog was in bed with me. And this dog, she is so laid back. She loves everybody. I mean, if somebody broke in here and was going to try and kill me, she would just lick them and love them and, you know.
I'm sorry, as a mailman, I've heard that so many times. I don't buy it. But go ahead. I don't buy it. I don't mind.
But she was in the bed with me. She was laying beside me. And my husband was home that night too, so he was asleep too. And I fell asleep, and this is another one of those where I was dreaming, but I was awake. I fall asleep, and I knew I was asleep, yet I was awake and could see my bedroom. Of course, it was dark, but there's a little bit of light from fish tank and computer, stuff like that. And I see this shadow of this man walk from the bottom of the bed up toward the side of my bed, toward my side. And of course, I don't know why, but I wasn't scared or anything. I wasn't worried about it. And I'm just watching. And it's just a figure of a black shadow figure of a man, and he had some kind of hat on, it looked like. But anyway, he got even with my face, or the top part of my body, and he turned to face the bed, and he went to lean over, and I'm just watching him. And then all of a sudden, I wake up, and nothing's there, and all of a sudden, I realize that my dog is laying there growling. And that's what woke me up. And she was just laying there with her head just barely raised, just staring off the side of the bed, and was just growling low in her throat. And she did that for about 5 more minutes, and then she quit, and we went to sleep.
So where were you watching this? So you weren't watching this from your body. Were you like above, or like?
It was just like I was laying in the bed. Only it was like I could
see your body. You could see your body. Okay.
Well, I couldn't. You know, it was like I was awake, but I wasn't awake. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Because I wasn't floating over my body or something.
Oh, okay. I mean, how do you know? How do you know you weren't awake?
Well, I guess I. Well.
I mean, you said you woke up, but how do you know you weren't like really awake and watching it, and like you snapped to attention? Maybe I don't know.
I thought I was asleep, but it was like I was kind of like the incubus thing. It was like I was my body was asleep, but my spirit was awake and knew what was going on.
I gotta to be honest, I don't know what's going on, Sherry. And if you invite me over, I'm just not coming. I'm just gotta be honest with you. I'm not coming. I mean, this is. I don't know how you guys have done it. I mean, 100% honest. How you can keep it together? This would be. You have to be the most laid back, understanding person.
You know, and my daughter, she comes home most weekends from college, and she won't sleep in her room. She sleeps on the couch. Because she says that spirits and demons and stuff come to her in her dreams and like mess with her. I mean, we've even had I've prayed over her room. My father-in-law talked to her and prayed with her, but she won't sleep in her room. And she said nothing happens when she's in her dorm.
I was just going to ask that. Nothing happens. Yeah. Okay.
She said her. Nothing happens when she's at her dorm. It's only in her room. And I've kind of thought maybe that she had brought something in there that has opened some kind of doorway or something. In my faith, I feel like I keep a hedge of protection around my home.
I gotta be honest. I don't think that hedge is doing the job. Okay, I think I think you need to get a landscaping service out there and get some new hedge put in and maybe a moat, because I don't think it's working.
Even though stuff's come in, nothing has hurt us. And I don't think it can. Except for that demon, you know, in the beginning. But I feel like that was like some kind of testing or something. I don't know. I really don't know what I'm talking about.
I'm stuck. You've completely shocked me with the.
But that's all the major things that has happened. You know, my mom bought when my stepdad died a few years ago. She bought her a little house in the city in town in Central Arkansas, and I did not know at the time, but the man that had lived there before her had committed suicide in the house. So we're down visiting one night, and she's in the living room with my daughter watching TV, and I'm off in the spare bedroom reading a book, and somebody comes in there and sits down on the bed, and I look up expecting to see my daughter or my mom, and there's nobody there. And I run in there, and I'm like, I was just like, oh, my God. I told my mom, and she's like, Sherry, she said, that was just the cat. That was the cat. That's all it was. She said, I got to live here by myself. And I was like, okay, Mama, it was just a cat. Because I was like, my mama's a poor little widow woman living by herself. I can't tell her that some ghost came and sat down on the bed with me, you know.
Oh my gosh. You know, that's great. Oh my goodness.
It's always something.
It's always something. I get that's the understatement of the year right there. It's always something. Listen, Sherry, you've completely blown me away. This isn't some of the best ghost, spirit, haunting story. This is unbelievable.
Yeah, this is my life.
I feel honored that you sent me an email and came on to share these. I really do. First of all, I'm glad that you guys are all safe and have made it through all these experiences, because some of them sound like they could have turned pretty bad, you know?
Yeah.
For sure. And, you know, and I think you're probably right in assuming your faith has done a lot to protect you guys, for sure.
Yeah.
Now, you know, maybe some of those times where people are talking in tongues, they don't know what they're saying and they're inviting in like an evil spirit. I'm just throwing that out there. I don't know.
No.
I don't know if there's a dictionary for tongues. You know what I'm saying?
I believe that when we're speaking in tongues, we're just speaking a language that we don't already know, and that we're praying. It's a spirit language that you pray to God.
I know, but what if throwing us out there? What if you're saying this goes back to when people talk about Bigfoot stuff, okay? And they do the Bigfoot call, or they bang the, you know, do the tree knocks. Well, you don't know what that means. That might be come on over and you know, I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not well versed in all that. All that aspect of the speaking in tongues, but gosh, what if it is a language that part of it that's saying, you know, maybe inviting in spirits that you don't really want, you know, especially since it's centered around, you know, seems to follow. I mean, it's convenient that your father-in-law doesn't believe in them, even though, I don't believe in those things. You know, I don't know. That's just, I mean, that would be something I would be like, I would check into that for sure. Just to see if that's even a possibility. I don't know.
I really honestly believe it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a prayer language, and I believe it's inspired by God. So, I understand not everybody believes that, but that's honestly what I believe.
Yeah, I totally understand that. You know, I do. Yeah. I mean, but like I said, that's the first thing that comes to mind is like, you know, what if you guys said the wrong thing?
What
if
we've been telling stuff to come
in? I don't try to speak in Spanish because I don't know what all the words mean. I don't know what the, but I can kind of sound like, you know, like I don't know. I just, you know, whatever it is, you guys are troopers, to say the least. I can tell you that. But yeah, I am thankful that you guys are, that you guys have all stayed safe and kind of, it seems like it's really bonded you guys all together.
It has.
Yeah, and that's kind of cool. Like I said, it's not, you guys don't seem to have the normal conversations that the rest of us do in boring lives. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah. Oh, by the way, did I tell you, Mom, the one time that my wife saw me stand in front of the closet, but I really wasn't? I never told you that. Okay. That's fantastic.
So. You know, and there's other little things that have happened and continue to happen, and we just kind of brush it off.
Well, I think what we'll do is we'll bring you back for a shorter, maybe a Patreon episode, and have you share some of those little things. We'll make another little episode out of some of the little, because I think people are going to hear this and be like, okay, I got to hear what else she has to say, because a little thing to her might be, you know, like, who knows what, like our house split in two and flames came out. I don't know. But I'll tell you, Sherry, I can't even thank you enough for coming. I mean, you made her whole October. I just gotta be honest. You made her whole October.
I appreciate you letting me get it out. I mean, you know, just carrying this around for so many years and then only talking to some family members about it, you know, and I'm just kind of curious what, I know there'll be people probably say some ugly things, but.
No, nobody does. We have really good listeners and really good fans, and they're all very supportive, because they, you know, they come here knowing that we encourage people to share their stories like you wanted to, so that maybe you can get some answers. Like maybe somebody has had the same sort of experience and they'll share with, you know, share their experience, and maybe it'll help you, help you color in some of the stuff that you don't know what it's supposed to look like, you know, like kind of answer some questions. So yeah, we really don't have too many. And if we do, we take care of them.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll stick the lumberjack on them. There you go. But yes, Sherry, thank you so much for coming on. And
yes, thank you for having me.
Look, it was definitely my pleasure. And Jason's going to be so mad that he wasn't sitting in and sold the judge. Wait till I tell the judge he's going to listen to this one. He's going to relate to some of your stories. Trust me.
Oh, boy. Trust me. Well, y'all can call me back anytime.
I will definitely stay in touch for sure. So
okay.
But I appreciate it. So, you know, thank you so much, Sherry.
Okay.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out. Ha 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 ha.